You guys, thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of The Bachelorette After Show here at AfterBuzz TV. It is the Bachelorette finale. I cannot believe the season is over. I cried at least 3 times within the first 15 minutes. We're going to get into the whole season, the finale, and some major Bachelor drama right after this. So
buzz. You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
You know who stuck out of the crowd?
Garrett.
That's a no-brainer.
Way to go for the cheese.
Yeah, I know.
We're talking about The Bachelorette, guys.
True. You guys, I'm going to be honest. I am emotionally drained. Honestly, I sit here, I'm so excited to discuss this episode, but I feel like after watching The Bachelorette for the past 3 hours, everyone, let's just like let out a big breath of air together.
Ready?
All right, there we go. I feel like you guys did that with us, right? Guys, thank you so much for tuning in. So excited to discuss tonight's episode and the season in general. As always, I'm your host, Christina Zias. And joining me tonight, I have Christine.
What's up, guys?
And Renee.
Hey, guys.
And in the booth, we have Jeff.
So many thoughts. So many thoughts.
So many thoughts. Well, yes. First of all, before we even get in to tonight's episode in the season, we just want to thank you guys for tuning in, for always joining us. Honestly, you guys are why we do this. We love interacting with you. If you're listening live in the chat role, like, thank you for being so awesome, for always sending us your feedback. If you're interacting with us on social media all week long, we love you guys. Just keep tuning in. And honestly, like, let us know what you think. We're always answering comments in our DMs, in the YouTube comments below, and especially in the chat role.
And thank you for staying up right now. If you're on the East Coast, it is
late.
We appreciate you guys.
Guys, I cannot believe The Bachelorette's over. Okay, initial thoughts. Obviously, Becca chose Garrett. Christine, were you surprised?
No, I wasn't surprised. Okay. I'll just come out and say it. And I also agree. I'm also very emotionally exhausted. This was a lot to take in these last 3 hours of just the heaviest of the season, really. But I'm not surprised that she chose Garrett, because there were some telltale signs tonight that really brought it home for me. That was like, it's going to be Garrett. And we'll get into it later.
Renee, do you agree?
Oh, guys, yeah, I've been saying the whole, I'm like, she's going to choose Garrett. This episode for me was like waiting for Blake's heartbreak. I was so anxious for him the entire episode that it was honestly a little bit hard for me to focus on Garrett and her love for a bit, because I was like, Blake's gonna be heartbroken. Like, what's Blake gonna do? Especially when Chris kept teasing it of like, the worst heartbreak we've seen. I was like, oh no, what's Blake gonna do?
Jeff, when Chris kept teasing that, did you know right away it's gonna be Blake?
You mean Garrett?
Well, did you know that Blake's heart was gonna be broken, is what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, if we're gonna describe a brokenhearted type of dude, I think most of us would knee-jerk to Blake, you know,
more than
Garrett.
Totally.
So, yeah, I mean, I think all of us, I will say, kind of called it from the beginning. We've been pretty much aware that Garrett was going to win this show.
Aside from the spoilers that were also, like, circulating on the internet, that Garrett was the winner.
But you know what? I mean, I try, and I feel like you guys do too, never to listen to spoilers. So that,
me too!
But I didn't realize how many spoilers there were until logging onto Twitter tonight, and I seeing like all those photos that TMZ leaked, I guess,
right,
of the proposal with Garrett. So happy I didn't see those earlier.
But, me too.
You know, watching tonight's episode, I had such a heavy heart. But I was so happy for Becca and Garrett at the same time. And I think we need to get into like Becca's family a little bit, because I think that's where I saw the signs that Becca was going to choose Garrett.
Completely. That was everything.
She seemed so elated to bring Garrett home. I could not believe how emotional he was. And it's funny because obviously he was so sensitive. He kept crying. And then Blake was obviously very emotional for completely different reason. But I mean, I really believe that Garrett was there for her and like really loved her. And seeing him with her family was just so sweet.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I mean, that's when we were tearing up is the entire...
How many times
did Garrett cry?
I cried, I know, for sure, at least 3 or 4 times during his time with the family.
Yeah, that really spoke to me. That was kind of a selling point for me with Garrett, because he's really not an emotional guy. We haven't seen him, at least as far as we've seen with his edit, the entire season. And then him meeting her family and the way he spoke of Becca and their relationship brought us all to tears, including my mom who's visiting and she was watching with us. We were all in tears.
Yeah, that was, I was saying it while we were watching. I'm so glad you brought up his edit because I feel like the producers were saving the best possible footage ever of Garrett for this last finale because he was polished, he was passionate, he was emotional. I felt it. It was like, wow, Garrett, you checked all the boxes. Like, for me, well, maybe not for me personally, but like just all season long, I'm like, okay, yeah, he could be Becca's type, but now I really, really understood it.
Absolutely. And for me, it was such a clear sign. They always do this, and I feel like, so obviously she had a great time. Garrett had a great time with Becca's family, and then, you know, Blake came in. Poor Blake. It was like raining and cloudy on his time with her family. But afterwards, Becca asked her sister, like, what did you think of the two? And she kind of seemed to lean towards Blake. And I felt like Becca almost got, like, a little upset during that moment. And we saw this also with Rachel's season, where she got upset when her family started to like Peter or voice their opinions on Peter. And you could tell at that point, like, Rachel had already chosen Brian. And I felt like this moment, I was like, okay, she wants Garrett.
Yeah. Oh, I have a question, actually, speaking of just past Bachelor and Bachelorettes. Was it Ari's season that a similar thing happened with the family favoring one over the other, clearly? Where you know how they kept bringing up to Blake and Garrett? Was it Ari's season? Or
they kept bringing up Lauren to Becca.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So we kind of, that I found interesting. I thought it was Ari's season, but isn't that kind of fascinating that even though he didn't pick Lauren, he ended up with Lauren, and they were doing the same to Blake with Garrett, and she picked Garrett?
I felt terrible for Blake in that moment.
First of all,
he was so scared, so nervous. He kept stuttering, and I just feel for him. There's so much pressure in that moment, and obviously he loved her so much. But for me, I almost didn't believe that he thought she was going to choose him because he seemed so insecure after meeting her family that I just don't know how you can turn it around so quickly. Like, how do you go from, like, really, from really being so confident that she's going to choose you to then be like, oh no, it's going to be Gary. I mean, he said that in those DR interviews. And then all of a sudden he thought she was going to choose him again.
Imagine having no phone, no books, no movies, and sitting alone in your thoughts for hours at a time before you make a decision to propose to someone who you're probably going back thinking about the good memories. I mean, it was one day with her family. And you know what? Maybe he was in his head. I could totally talk myself into the fact, like, oh, I was just in my head about it.
I was just going to say that. I think the whole season, you know, and even we've gotten on him for being in his head and being a little too anxious sometimes and kind of taking himself out of the moment. So I feel like he checked himself in this moment. Like, maybe I shouldn't fall into that train of thought. There's literally only one day left. Let me just stay positive because it could actually be. Unfortunately, it wasn't in
this case. Totally.
But it sucks that he finally had that moment of, like, let me just lean into the confidence I actually have. And it wasn't, which it makes the heartbreak that much worse.
I know.
So much worse.
He was devastated, but I think he handled himself so well tonight on after the final rose. I was like, damn, Blake, get that Bachelor edit.
But like more than Jason or anyone else, you see him now as the front runner?
I think so.
I think because of how America will feel about him after his heartbreak. However, I think he's not ready at all to meet anyone right now. I do think a producer was like, listen, because I think he truly wants to move on. He's not ready. I think producer kind of talked him into like what you need to say, the message you need to get across for, you know, to have that Bachelor edit. But truthfully, it didn't even feel like he meant any of the words he was saying. Like, I think I'm sure everyone has like a different like perspective on this. Like for me, it felt like he was so emotional and just trying to get out what he needed to get out. He does want Becca to be happy, but do you know how much it hurts like loving someone and having to watch them be happy with someone else? Like the question that stung me the most was Chris being like, does it help to know she's happy? No, but like in that moment, yeah, you want them to be happy, but he's clearly still heartbroken.
I think he's definitely still heartbroken. Mm-hmm. However, I do believe he was very raw and honest and just happy for Becca. And if you have to remember that a couple months have gone by, so he's had time to think about it, to process it all. He said he watched the whole season back. And I think what was so difficult for me to watch their breakup is that Becca kept saying, like, I thought it was going to be you, or I knew it was going to be you. And I was like, damn, like, way to, like, break this guy's heart. Like, way to confuse him so much. Yeah, and she couldn't really give him a reason, at least when they were breaking up, until after the final rose. And I thought it was so interesting what she said. She mentioned pretty much how they would handle situations together. And she said, like, when you got so in your head at times, I worried about, like, how you would handle things if someone got sick or something happened to a child. And I saw, what's her name? Ashley Spivey or Spivey?
Yeah.
She, like, said some, she's, I always think she just, like, has really rude comments, to be honest with you. I feel like she's always trying to get her, like, 15 minutes of fame.
She was the one who kind of broke the whole Garrett thing as well.
Right, which I'm fine with that. But she pretty much insulted Becca.
Why?
For saying that Becca didn't choose Blake because of his mental health, or like,
hold on a second,
that's kind of a stretch.
It's a stretch.
Hold on, I'll read exactly what she said because I don't want to.
Let me just defend Becca for a second. All season long, or at least for the last few episodes, Becca has been saying how similar her and Blake are, and yes, maybe that's eventually something that is maybe a flaw in herself that she also sees in him, where they get in their heads. All they've been saying is how similar they are. So isn't it more of her saying that they can't balance each other out in that way? Like, if he gets in her head, maybe she gets in her head as well. I don't think she spoke well of what she was trying to say, but I think in that moment, since it's live TV, you're seeing your ex for the first time. And honestly, it seemed like so many moments Becca wanted to say more, but they're on live television, and that is an awkward situation in front of a live audience.
This is go ahead, Christine.
No, I would say I would agree, but that's been my one critique of Becca all season, is that I feel like she doesn't really give straight answers. And we've said this so many times. Mm-hmm. So I was not expecting that answer towards the end. And I found it particular that she said, if someone gets sick, and then later on with Garrett, she's like, I just know, like, if I was sick or something, he'd take care of me.
Okay, but see.
So I was like, what?
Her dad died of cancer.
Right.
So this is a huge, this like was a huge thing that happened in her life for several years, that he was sick and struggling. And I think it was something that she had to deal with. And obviously, like, she was so close with her dad, and like, it hit so hard. Like, her whole family was really affected by it, that I think she wants someone who is like so strong that she knows that she can rely on, who could be that equal partner to like hold her up.
Yeah.
And maybe seeing Blake be so emotional these past couple weeks and so insecure, that's probably like a fear for her. Like, am I gonna have to like support him? Is he gonna be there to support me too?
I just find that interesting, because she would always say that Blake was like her partner and that they were very 50-50. So I can relate to him when he kept asking, like, well, what was the moment? What was it? Because she says a lot of the things that you want to hear, but then is like, but no. So
clearly she had a moment. Like, do you know what I mean? Clearly.
Yeah.
So this is exactly what Ashley tweeted. She said, I feel a little uncomfortable with Becca's reasons for not picking Blake, because it kind of seemed like she was saying his mental health was a factor. I really hope she wasn't saying that. And I mean, I think it's just Ashley trying to be controversial, saying his mental health. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't think that's what she was saying at all. I also think when it comes down to, like, the last two people on this show, like, unless something super dramatic happens, I don't think there is a clear answer on why you're not picking that person. If she's flat out saying, like, I can see a future with both people, it comes down to, like, okay, but who do I really want? Like, let me really think of who I really want to be with. It's not, like, a clear, well, you know what? This whole time, Blake kind of sucked, and I just didn't think he was fun. No, like, she brought these last two guys because she fell in love with them. She was in love with both of them. They're strong feelings. It just comes down to what your heart's saying and what your gut is saying. And for it was Garrett, I just think when you try to, like, explain it when there's not a clear answer, stupid things come out. Like, things you don't mean that you...
That's what we've been getting, all of these kind of cringy moments where Becca's like, well, you know, and she's just repeating herself, and it's just starting to drive me nuts. But, like, I can understand that.
Jeff, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, here's what I'll say in defense of Becca. I agree with a lot of you guys are saying. Becca went through a very traumatic thing 4 months ago, right? She had her heart broken on what I consider to be a pretty gross edit on behalf of ABC. And so I get why she would want someone incredibly stable, especially right now. And again, I'm not shading Blake at all. I actually very much relate to Blake. I think I'm much more similar to him than I am with Garrett. So this is nothing against Blake, but I think about it this way. Garrett's been through a divorce, and he seems way more steady than Blake. And Blake had a 2-month relationship and had to have his mom drive up 4 times a week. And that was a 2-month relationship. Like, if I'm Becca, that's a little scary for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then I'm not shading Blake.
That's a valid point. Yeah.
I just feel like divorce and stable versus 2-month relationship and needing mom 4 times a week, I kind of get why Becca went with the decision she did.
I agree with you, absolutely. I also think that was a conversation that was had with her family that we didn't see on air because of a comment that her mom made to Blake saying, if she doesn't pick you, you will be fine. You will both be fine.
Right.
Was a very interesting comment to make if she didn't have that background info. So I think there were more conversations that we did not see about Blake and kind of how he, you know, handles situations. Because I think what it really came down to is Becca knew she wanted Garrett, but she didn't want to hurt Blake, you know?
Totally. Yeah. I mean, she kept saying that. And I feel like that was, like, what she was struggling with so much was because she thought it was going to be Blake all along. And Blake kind of said, like, you know, she would give him, like, little clues and hints and stuff like that. She probably just felt so bad hurting his feelings. And by the way, people in the chat role are pretty much always saying are saying that I'm totally off with my reaction to Ashley's tweet, which is fine. I think I just found it a little
controversial.
Controversial and, like, a little insensitive towards Blake. But, I mean, if everyone disagrees...
Yeah, no,
that's fine with me too.
Like, that's fine too.
We're all gonna have our own opinions.
Yeah,
I'm sure we all know. Sometimes people disagree with us.
I was just shocked that she said that in that moment.
No, me too. Because what else do you say? Like, it's a tough thing when you're sitting there again, live studio audience, and someone's like, "So why didn't you pick me? What do you say if there's not a clear answer and you need to say something?" Sometimes you just,
know.
I guess, you know, you got in your head. Like, I don't, she probably now looking at it, she's like, why did I say that? That's not what I meant. You know?
Well, and she was, it was a lose-lose, right? Because, like, if she wouldn't have said anything, people would have been like, Becca never owns up to anything.
Yep. Yeah,
but
that's
in this
true.
Case, like, she told him the truth. Like, and it's not a mental health thing. It's just not. Like, I feel like my personality meshes better with someone whose MO is, like, a little less anxious. Like, there's nothing wrong with that, you know?
And she also said...
She was being honest.
Yeah, but she also said they're very similar. Like, considering, like, throughout this episode especially, like, they both kept saying, oh, we were, like, the same person. So that makes me think as a viewer, oh, maybe Becca also gets in her head. I just think because of how she worded it, it didn't come across that way. You know?
Yeah, definitely. I think for me... Poor Blake watching this episode back. I was like, when he was with Becca, I felt like he was trying to convince himself and trying to convince Becca at this point that he was the right choice, where I feel like Garrett was just enjoying the moment together. And Garrett said, you know, like, I hope you choose me, but at the end of the day, I'm going to be happy for you no matter what. Which part of me, if I was Becca, would have been like, what do you mean? You better, like, you better, like, need me to choose you, because, you know, Blake needed her. But when seeing them two on that date with the boat and the dolphins, I'm like, okay, like, this is real. Like, she is so happy with him.
She seems so content.
She actually gets lost in the moment with Garrett, whereas with Blake, they had those serious conversations, like, I mean, a few times. We had that first, I think the first time we were let in on that was that date where they were dancing. Was it in the Bahamas? The dancing date with the Bahaman? It was the Bahamas, the Bahaman. Yeah. But she was, you know, saying, like, there are other guys here. Like, that seemed like the beginning of the end for Blake, because she was kind of, like, slowly letting him know. I'm sure there was affirmations given before then of, like, our future kids. And then she's like, oh, no, like, I also really like Garrett. And I think that's when we as an audience were given more telltale signs that something was, you know, not 100%.
Especially their conversation tonight, too. We spoke about it while we were watching that, her body language, mm-hmm. when they were talking. She's kind of looking down and fiddling and being like, well, you know, there's other guys. Like, not really looking him in his eye and giving him that straight talk. Whereas mm-hmm. with Garrett, it's like looking him in the eye, giving him that validation of like, yes, I love you. Like, this is what it's, you know, meant to be. So that was another early sign as well.
Yeah. Even Blake was like, something fell off.
Yeah,
and
he knew.
This late in the process, if you're feeling it, it's probably what you think it is.
Definitely. Something I thought that was really interesting was that Becca said that her relationship with Blake was so strong early on that it kept her from seeing the possibility in other relationships. And I think that was really interesting for her to say, and I wonder if this happens a lot in other seasons where you kind of just hit it off with one person and you're like, okay, yeah, this is going to be the person. And you kind of, like, neglect the rest of the other people. Obviously, like, you know, you give them their time and you have to keep giving them roses because it is a television show. But I feel like Becca wanted this so badly that she was able to open up her mind to more than one person. But I feel like, do you think a lot of people at the end of this, like, already knew the person they were going to choose from, like, their first one-on-one date or... I think earlier on.
I think that's very possible considering, I mean, think about like us in the dating world when we find someone we like, even if there's other options, we're like, yeah, but I like that one.
You get tunnel vision.
Yeah. So I feel like that's so relatable and very possible on this show because once you have a connection with someone, it's almost like you're like, okay, I have a great connection. Why would I now try to invest in every other one so I get confused? I like him. I do think you're open to some extent because it's a TV show where you're going on dates and falling in love. But ultimately, I do think, I mean, gosh, that first impression, Rose, what they're talking about in the first episode with Rachel and was it Jojo?
Yeah.
About
and Caitlin.
And Caitlin, about all of their guys were their first impression roses. So I think it is a little sign of tunnel vision, but also, like, sometimes you just can't deny chemistry. Like, when you have that with someone, it obviously it's going to last throughout the whole time. Like, when it's there, it's there. And when it's not, you will know it, honestly, from night one. But sometimes people can surprise you, like Jason. But look how that turns out.
I mean, honestly, I thought she was very open to the whole process up until that episode where she just flat out said to the camera, like, I've just been in love with Blake. And then it was just to me at that point, I was like, wait, we're there.
Yeah.
Then from that point on, I was like, OK, then we know for sure Blake and Garrett are going to be the front runners. But up until that point, I really wasn't sure because Becca says a lot of nice things about everybody. And again, that's been my thing with her all season. It's like, us as viewers, we can see the people who could potentially be further, but I felt like she was just giving everybody everything, like the same thing for a long time.
Same answers.
I love this about you. And then at one point it was like, oh, well, I really love Blake.
You know what I'm a little confused about? And Jeff, maybe you can answer this, but they kept referring to Blake being the safe choice. And Casey in the chat world brought this up.
Oh, and that Garrett was the risk?
I was so confused by that.
Me too. I didn't get that at first.
Me neither. Blake, I felt like Blake was the risk.
Me
and Garrett
too.
Was
the safer choice.
Garrett's the dad, the husband.
Yeah.
The one who reminds her of her dad and home. Like, that for sure, to me, felt like the safe choice as opposed to Blake.
Jeff, what do you think?
I kind of understood it. I think probably, like, Blake reminds us of someone who went to Becca's high school. You know, like, Blake, in the sense of, like, Garrett is from a farm, sort of, I don't know, I know Becca's from Minnesota, but the fact that we kept hearing Becca and Blake are similar, they probably sense that sort of friend, that warmth of chemistry that can be a great foundation for a relationship in terms of companionship, whereas Garrett was maybe felt like more of a mystery because he wasn't as similar to Becca.
I think the risk factor was the fact that he had been married before, because that's what uncle came out the gate with, asking, like, you were with somebody, you were married for like 2 months or whatever, and then decided, like, you know, this wasn't it. How did you get to that point? I think that's what the risk factor was.
But
even still, when you compare grand scheme of things, Blake is the bigger risk to me.
Yeah, even if you think about his relationship history, it was a 2 month long distance. Okay, I don't know. And you guys, I'm sure you are the better detectives with this. There was proof of him being in a long distance relationship. Was that the 2 month long relationship? Like, he clearly doesn't have that much of a history of serious relationships. So that in itself is a huge risk. Someone that's never lived with someone, never had that long and serious of a relationship, that's way, to me, scarier than someone who was committed to someone for, what, 6 years?
Okay, this is what are saying in the chat roll. Niana said Blake was the safe choice because he wouldn't leave her. Sayoana, is that how I say it? Blake is the safe choice. Garrett is the guy who leaves his wife after 2 months.
Okay.
So I think it does have to do with his wife. A lot of people are saying it's because Garrett was already divorced. Blake loved her more than she did him, making him a guaranteed safe choice.
You know, I get that, because my parents did tell me that. Like, pick a guy who loves you more than you love him, for sure. Maybe not in those exact words, but essentially that. But no, I still think that Garrett was the safer choice. I don't know.
I mean, me the too. Bottom line is, proposing to anyone after 5 weeks, pretty risky.
What do you mean?
True. Wait, Jeff, there was a moment in After the Final Rose where you and I just looked at each other and started laughing, because I think Becca was like, yeah, we just still need to get to know each other.
Yeah, exactly.
And we're like, oh my gosh, this show is ridiculous. They have to get to know each other after they're already engaged.
Yeah, there's a couple. The other laughing moment was, what's next for you guys? Well, I think we're thinking about moving to California. And it's like, oh, I wonder what your career aspirations are. But
what their podcast going to be called.
Exactly.
Who knows?
Oh my gosh.
But getting to know each other.
So obviously, they seem very happy together on After the Final Rose. To me, Garrett felt a little bit off. He didn't seem as, like, bubbly or happy or as confident as
Really?
Yeah, and I think it was probably because of, like, the whole weight of the whole Instagram thing and, like, how am I going to handle this situation?
Yeah.
Maybe that's why I felt it. Or maybe I was a little off watching him because I was like, oh, no, how is he going to handle this whole situation?
I was definitely just waiting for it. I said it. I was like, listen, guys, we have this much time left.
Christine was pissed. She was like, are they not going to discuss it? And I was like, Christine, they're gonna discuss it.
I was on the edge of my seat. But I think that those nerves there were why Garrett was like that. Also, Becca was just like gushing. I don't even feel like he needed to do the most because every single time they cut back from commercial and they're like, we're here with Becca and Garrett. She's like, yeah, like over and over. I'm like, okay, I feel your excitement, girl. But I think Garrett was just waiting to say his piece and to make sure he got that out because prior to this episode, I think it was understood he was kind of a man of few words. So I feel like when he does say something, he's trying to think it through, and I think that was his moment to, like, let me not F this up. It's Definitely. Out that we're a couple. Let me tread carefully from this point on, because God forbid you say something off on this, and it's on a loop for forever, just like those likes, and they'll never disappear.
Yeah, that makes sense to me as well, because I honestly didn't sense anything too off with him. To be honest, we were talking about how Chris Harrison seemed a little bit more off, True. So I think I was more focused on Chris Harrison. I don't know, there were like long pauses before questions, the same question over and over and over again. But with Garrett, I didn't really piece it together, but it does make sense that when you're in your head about something and you haven't done it yet, all you're thinking about is what you need to do, and especially being that like deep of a talk he has to have and what he has to say, it's so important. I would be really nervous if I were him.
Do you think he handled it well, Renee?
I think he handled it pretty well. I honestly, like, in that situation when it's live television with studio audience, without someone just giving you lines to read, I think he did it really well. I think the only way he could have done it better is if he had a few takes and a sheet of paper he was reading off of.
Right.
I think he handled it well. I also feel like at this point, you either like him or you don't, because this came out already. So if you're hearing it, if you're hearing it now, it's either going to sound like more BS to you or you're like, great, no, I agree. So I think he just did the best that he could.
I think something that I took away from that was I think he did a pretty decent job overall. Yeah. I think he did seem apologetic. And what I liked about it, it was he was apologetic for what he liked. But more than that is that he said that this is a learning experience for me and I had to learn a lot about Becca and her thoughts and like how she feels about certain things. And he seemed like willing to grow and learn from her. And I think that's something that you could only want from your partner.
I think Becca.
You know what I mean? Guys, I totally disagree.
Okay, let's hear it.
I didn't think this was a great apology, to be honest, because what's interesting is I don't think he ever actually apologized for what he liked. He said, I'm sorry for who I offended. And then he said, I'm sorry that
if I hurt anyone or offended anyone, yeah.
And then the other thing he did was he's like, and you know it was tough because the things I like don't align with Becca's views.
Oh, no, I think, okay, I totally get what you're saying. I do think he did have a moment. He did apologize for the photos or said he didn't mean to. I don't remember what it was. He took it back in a way. I can't remember the exact thing he said. What I kind of wish he went on about more, though, that I do understand more of, like, being sorry, I guess, about Becca and, like, Becca's views and all that. I wish he was more apologetic to the people he was offending. I know he said that a few times, but it just didn't seem as
direct to them.
Yeah. It was more like, oh, to everyone who I, you know, the people out there who are offended, as opposed to like, oh, these very specific things I liked are very offensive. You know, like that more specific, I guess, address. But I do think he did the best he could, given the fact he has already put out a lengthy apology. And this, again, is live television. And honestly, sometimes I'm in my head like, oh, I'm going to do things like this. It's going to be great. And then I watch it back. And I'm like, oh, my God, Renee, did you, like, black out for a second? Like, when it's live, you don't – you sometimes things don't come across the way you want them to. I think he was nervous. But I do think with the first apology and that being a follow-up, the fact he addressed it on there, I like
but
what he did.
I do agree with what you're saying, Jeff, because you're saying that he's apologizing for what he liked, but is not saying that he doesn't believe.
Has he apologized for what he liked?
Oh, no.
Yeah, he already has. I was he issued a huge apology.
I was trying to look back to the screenshot out of it. Is it still on his Instagram?
No, I feel like what I've gathered is like he's kind of sorry for doing it and like he's sorry that people's feelings were hurt, but I've never gotten the impression that he really feels sorry for the viewpoints expressed in the Instagram posts.
Well, he did say, like, he needs to learn and he's educating himself and progressing. Like, he did make that a fact as if, like, what he was liking was insensitive and not well thought out and he didn't mean it. Like, it seemed like what he was trying to get across is he didn't mean it. It was just a stupid thing and he should have thought twice before liking something that could easily offend a lot of people, as if you've seen what the posts are, makes sense. But his lengthy apology, that really dove into things. People were saying is that it right there?
Yeah, I'm reading it. Well, he does address it specifically to those who I have hurt and offended. This is all new to me. I went on The Bachelorette for the adventure and possibility of falling in love, not fame. I did not know what to expect once the show aired. I'm sorry to those I offended, and I take full responsibility for my likes on Instagram that were hurtful and offensive. And he goes on in length. I don't want to read through the whole thing again.
That's a lot.
But he does say at the end that let my mistakes be a lesson for those who mindlessly double tap images, memes, and videos on any social media content that could be many things, including hurtful, degrading, and dehumanizing. I do not want my social media to define who I am, and I will take better care moving forward to support all walks of life. So do you think that is to Jeff's point that he's addressing it head on or still not really?
He's addressing it head on. However, he's not necessarily saying he doesn't disagree with those likes. He's saying he's sorry if he offended anyone and he's trying to learn to be a better person and try to educate himself, which at the same time, like, I think that's all you can ask, right? Like, he is saying, I'm trying to better myself and I'm trying to learn and I'm thankful to have a partner who can teach me her values that might be different than mine or her opinions that might be different.
I think there comes a point where us as the public and media have to, like, get to a point where, are we going to crucify somebody forever? Like, are we going to give people a chance to own up to it and grow? Because then you're just going to be, like, harping on that forever. I'm not, like, discounting what he liked and that it's not that serious, like, that it's not serious because it is.
I think,
but
the red flag for me was he said something like, and I just hate that what I said was not aligned with Becca's views. Or he said something that
I think that was him more so just like acknowledging it that it hurt her.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think that's him being like, I need to learn more about her and I will learn more from her. You know what I mean? His willingness to learn.
Yeah, it's like saying, like, I get that what I do now as her fiance is also an extension of her. Like, I'm representing her too. So this is me being mindful that I don't want my negative views and my mistake to have a negative effect on her too. That's how I took it.
And I would like to go back to, he's not someone that's like a public figure. I don't think he's that good at public speaking. I truly believe, like, he wanted to get his points across, his apology out there in that lengthy, like, note on Instagram. But this apology was something he knew he had to address again. But again, I think he was so nervous. I don't think everything came out the right way. But for it being live TV with a live studio audience, with that note, like, I do think he did a good job considering what he did do and like, you know?
I think the proof is in the pudding. At this point, if he does something like this again, okay, maybe not.
100%.
Like, from here on out, we do have to just let it play out. What else are we going to do?
No, I mean, I think at this point, like, you should... I'm happy for them, and I wish them well, and I hope... Honestly, I'm going to be so disappointed if they don't last. I really hope that we see a wedding with, like, Becca and Garrett.
I think ABC is, too. They're, like, really selling the fact that this one worked out, finally. Like, they're giving us this whole fairy tale-ish thing now that Becca's found her happiness. Like, it didn't feel that overjoyed when Ari, you know,
huge difference,
but, like, you know, you still want to sell that the lead picked who they wanted. They kind of just, like, trying to push that under the rug so bad and just move on to, I mean, they gifted them a trip to Thailand and a minivan. Like, they are like, yes, this worked out. Woo!
Yeah, they're definitely trying to sell us on this, like, very happy ending.
Hard, yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, I mean, good for them. Like, I'm happy for them. I hope... We are due for a bachelor wedding. We haven't had one since Jade and Tanner. Oh, no, we had Carly and Evan.
Yeah, that doesn't count.
We all know how we feel about that. They weren't a real bachelor wedding. Right?
Yeah, but these are all Bachelor in Paradise weddings. I want a bachelor or bachelorette wedding.
There's a long line.
Rachel and Brian. I said Ryan and Rachel.
They're planning their own wedding.
They're in talks for it right now. Rachel did go on ET and spoke with Lauren Zima about the fact that they are in talks about it. It's about what's going to fit best for their timeline because she wants a fall wedding, et cetera, et cetera. So the conversation's already started.
Okay, good. We need one.
Yeah.
Before we get into Bachelor in Paradise, because you guys, we're going to be on here tomorrow night discussing Bachelor in Paradise. I cannot wait to discuss it. I cannot wait to see what goes down.
I know.
Bachelor in Paradise is my favorite spinoff.
Do you think they already gave us a lot of the tea in the promos? Because I'm starting to feel like we've seen so much already.
We've seen so many promos, but I'm still not sure what's going to happen. The only thing I'm, like, skeptical about is Kevin from Canada crying.
I know.
Only because I spoke to Ashley I about this, and she's like, Kevin was in Paradise, and I feel like they kind of, like, set it up for him to be, like, so upset when Ashley got engaged. Meanwhile, like, I don't, like, they didn't care. They broke up months and months ago.
And it ended amicably, right?
Yeah, exactly. So I'm like, oh, that's, I'm going to see how he kind of, like, spins that whole situation. I'm curious about that. But before all that, I want to discuss some drama going on in the Bachelor world. Mm-hmm. A lot of you guys have been tweeting us, have been sending us Instagram stories about this. Have you guys seen the Leo and Becca M drama?
Yes.
Sure have.
Jeff, have you seen it?
I know nothing about this. Oh my gosh, so I'm on the edge of my seat.
I sent some screenshots too. I don't know if you can pull those up.
I'll pull them up real quick. I should be able to get them.
Okay, so make a long story short, for those of you that don't know, I guess there was an Instagram comment that, oh gosh, I feel like naughty, like, talking about this.
Because it was naughty.
I don't want to say these words out loud. But Leo commented on someone's photo, which, granted, I think was like 5 years ago.
Still.
Saying,
he was still an adult.
Saying, you need, and excuse my language, I don't know why this makes me uncomfortable, but saying,
You need my big dick.
You need my big dick. And Becca M called it out and said, some great guys from this season, with like one of those emojis. And then apparently she posted that, and then all these women came forward and started messaging Becca about things that Leo has done. And, for instance, one said, I can't reply to the next screen, but I went to college with Leo and did many theater productions with him. I myself have several disgusting stories of him being more than creepy towards women and several other people that have come over to me over the years with their own stories, some of them barely legal when it happened. So pretty much Becca was sharing all these DMs she was getting from women. And then Leo, can you play that video or no?
It was just a screenshot of the video, but that's where their back and forth starts, from him in response to all that, posting a Snapchat video, I mean not a Snapchat, Insta story video of girls in the background saying, we love you, Leo. Like basically confirm, like trying to say that this couldn't be true, girls love him, like what is this? So then Becca's Insta story goes on about how Leo's threatening to sue her for defamation of character, and she's saying, please take me to court, Leo. You see her kind of laughing about it there. And then again, another screenshot from her DMs. I think this was from the person you said before. Like,
yeah.
Oh no, this is somebody now going back with information about Becca.
So pretty much there's this whole back and forth, and you know, Leo's threatening to sue her because for like defaming his character, but then people are starting to send Leo things that Becca have done. And there was something about Becca like inappropriately touching a guy when he was 14 years old and she was 18 years old, and then Becca calling him out for saying that's not true. Pretty much it was back and forth.
And what about dog?
Molesting
a dog with a cucumber. Like,
yeah, just, there was a lot of, anyways,
it was bad.
It was very bad. But the way Leo was responding.
Jeff, what are your thoughts on all of this as you're listening to it, seeing it for the first time?
I'm trying to make any sense of what's, I mean, like, I will say there were some seemingly nice guys this season who just turned out to be off their rockers. I mean, like, this is crazy.
So for me, part of me was like, why is this Becca M calling this out? Like, why is she involved in this drama? Just because of everything that just happened with her and the Colton and Tia drama. But at the same time, I'm happy like she's sharing these stories if these are things that really happened, because obviously like there's been some very questionable men on Becca's season, like Hello Lincoln. But I think, I don't know, it's so scary for me to say, and I just wish that, like, Leo handled it better, too, because he seemed so creepy in those videos.
So
the one
creepy.
He was, like, laughing where girls were like, I love you, or we love you, Leo. I was like, damn, he does seem creepy. Like, if you did offend women like this, just, like, be like, oh, I'm sorry if I ever offended anyone.
Yeah.
No one ever brought it to my attention. Like, Becca, why are you trying to call, like, people out?
Yeah, my initial reaction to seeing all of it was, like, if this is true, right message, wrong person.
100%.
For the same reasons you just said. I feel like the public hasn't had a chance to really digest Becca M yet after you know, openly shit talking your fellow contestants, then kind of taking it back, and then kind of saying that you want to step away from the Bachelor world, announcing you have this new boyfriend, you're moving on with life, and then it's like you're sucked back into this drama. For me, it was just like, oh, girl, like, why you? Why right now? And then also on the same token, I feel like if this is all BS and it's not true, Leo completely handled it poorly, because you need to hit somebody with facts and just be straightforward if it's not true. Like, hey, you're saying some pretty, you know, serious accusations here. And if that's really the case, then we need to handle this privately. And, you know, just own up. Like, he could have just went a different route than that sleazy video. Like, you lost all credibility to me at that point.
That's how I felt, too. Wait, I'm sorry, but Misha C said, not really shocked that the guy who did porn is a perv.
I mean, there's that,
with
too.
That emoji.
It's hard because you don't want to just, like, box somebody in, because we are only getting characters. Totally. Like, who am I to sit up here and say, you know, Leo has long hair. He looks like he might have done porn. It looks probable that he could have done something like that to somebody. That's completely, you can't make that kind of correlation there. But then it also upsets me when you respond like that, because I said it in our group chat when we were talking about it. It's like a white person standing next to a black person being like, I can't be racist. Look, I have black friends. It's like, that doesn't excuse the accusations here.
Absolutely.
Respond, deal with it, and move on.
My only theory is that something happens in paradise with, this is like a stretch.
Let's hear it.
This is my theory, that something happens with Kendall and Leo, and Leo hurts Kendall or does something to offend her or does something, because you see in the promos that I think they're hooking up, but there's something going on with them, and that Becca goes for Leo because of
this. That's her bestie.
That's her bestie.
Yeah.
She always talks about her, how close her and Kendall are.
It's a good theory.
This whole thing, it's like, if these things did happen, I have no problem with Becca bringing it to the light. However, it's like the same, it's a weird thing, because when like random people are just DMing you on Instagram, like how credible are they when it's just random accounts, especially when they, you know, it is like a photo you're seeing at the same time. It's like, are you silencing victims or are you speaking their truth? Like, what's happening? It's just a lot of drama. We won't know the truth. I think Leo handled it so poorly, and I see him very differently now.
Erica Garza said, what pisses me off is that this stuff has been out since the premiere and people only noticed it because Becca spoke out.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So that's interesting. I guess we'll have to do some more research and we'll see what happens.
See, that kind of changes my perspective on things. I thought that Becca first posted the big dick comment and then she started getting Instagram DMs, but if that has been out for a while, then damn.
Maybe we're just trying to shield ourselves from spoilers so much we're missing some of the good tea.
No,
so forgive us. Sorry. You know, it's hard.
Guys, we really try our best not to listen to any spoilers.
Like, I even listen to other recaps other than ours after too, just because we're all in this space, but I try and tune it out because we want to give you guys our take, our authentic take on it.
Absolutely. We don't listen to spoilers. That this is how off. Remember in the beginning of season, you guys, we did our own little Bachelorette Fantasy League where we were going to see, like, how well we did with our predictions. Well, this is how bad we did. Go on, Renee, quickly before we wrap up.
You guys, tied at second place with 1 point is myself, Christina, and Jeff.
1 point.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Might be 2 because we don't know who the Bachelor is yet.
Okay.
And the winner, who unfortunately is not here to win. What did we even say was the prize? I don't know. A high five or something. Sterling has 2 points.
You know I'm in dead last with none.
And Christine got none.
Christine, 0. Yeah, guys, we don't know. We clearly had no idea who the hell was going to win. Some people had Ryan, Christina. You had, I almost said Christine.
I still don't know who Ryan is. Who's Ryan again?
The ukulele guy.
I still don't remember
him.
I had him as a
third place. Third place. Ooh,
I think I had David as like being the Bachelor or something like that. Winning.
You have David as the Bachelor. That's gonna happen. You had Blake as the winner. Thankfully, we had Garrett as the winner, but I had Garrett, Blake, Renee, and David.
Ooh.
And then you had Garrett, Colton, and Ryan.
Oh my gosh, we messed up.
Jeff had Blake, Colton, and Connor. Picture frame Connor. Colton Blake were up there, but Connor, guys, we just didn't
guys,
know.
This could change if, you know, we find out who the Bachelor is.
Okay, yeah. Well, with that, Christine, who do you want to be the Bachelor?
I want it to be Jason. I'm still on Team Jason.
Renee?
I want it to be Jason, but I feel like it's going to be Blake.
Jeff?
Grocery Store Joe.
Oh! I would love for it to be Grocery Store Joe. Did you guys see him? I wasn't here for Men Tell All. I freaking love Grocery Store Joe.
I think I still want it to be Jason.
Chris Harrison put that to bed, though.
Yeah, he did.
Jason
yeah.
is who I want,
I
for
think
real.
I yeah. still... Jason. I want Jason. And you guys, we will be back, obviously, next season to discuss The Bachelor, but we'll be back tomorrow night to discuss Bachelor in Paradise. Unfortunately, we're really upset about this. We are, obviously, you've probably noticed for the past couple weeks, but we are missing a co-host, Sterling. We love her so much. She actually got a job on the Lady Gang podcast, which is coming to E! So she'll be working on that show and won't be able to join us for the next season. Yeah, but we're so proud of her. She also has her own amazing podcast, so make sure you guys go check that out. But we'll be back here tomorrow night.
Yep.
Tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night.
Bachelor in Paradise, you guys, tomorrow night. That's so crazy. Guys, thank you so much for tuning in all season long. Hopefully we'll see you here tomorrow. And you can follow me across social media at Miss Zias.
And you can find me on Twitter, you can find me at Christine Bean and on Instagram at Christine I Alexis.
Ooh, such
name
a thing
change.
Up. You guys can follow me at Renee Ariel on Instagram and on Twitter and check out my blog, sextingandthecity.com.
And Jeff?
And you guys can find me online at Jeffrey C. Graham. And I just want to say thanks for our fans for such a great season. I know we had a lot of hot takes this season. You guys like some more than others, but we love you guys sticking by us and we appreciate you hearing us through it all.
Thanks, guys. Yeah. We'll see you tomorrow.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.